Before you listen to today's episode, I'm being featured on Spotify. They want me to curate more content for you all. I've created a playlist of all the Friday Training episodes. Whether it's your first time listening to the Friday Training episodes, or you've heard them all in the past and want to go back and learn more, I've linked this playlist in the description of today's episode, so make sure you go like the playlist and follow me on Spotify. Hey everyone, it's Monday, so that means we are back on the road to revenue and happiness. Today's episode is about transition, personal and professional transition, and we're going to talk about the four stages of transition, expected and unexpected. Don't forget to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for my free training. And if you can text me at 949-298-2905, your biggest takeaway, I certainly would appreciate it. Email me anytime at david@dmeltzer.com. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
We are going to do our road to revenue and happiness transition, personally and professionally transition. Everyone talking about transition, we have never seen such transition as we have for the last 6 months. That's for sure. And I wanted to do a training on how to take advantage of transitioning, even though we've all been transitioning our whole lives. If you want the exercise and guide for this training, if you're watching the replay featured on Spotify, there's a playlist on Spotify of all the trainings now. They're featuring it. Entrepreneur, you can reach it there. But go ahead and email me, david@dmeltzer.com, if you want the exercises, guides, or my books. All right, let's get started. Transition. There's four phases or stages of transition. And the first stage is awareness. We talk about a lot the senses, our way we see, hear, smell, taste, and feel are faulty systems. They don't allow us to see incremental growth changes, and they don't allow us to see transition. Our memories are faulty. We can't remember exact where we were, exact times, places, things, amounts, etc. And so it's difficult to determine when we are transitioning. So we need to understand the awareness of it. But when we become aware of a transition, we immediately have an ego-based emotion called denial. And we have to understand that this denial will create resistance as a second stage. So when we hit an awareness of a transitional period or a transition that we're in, we then hit resistance. Void shortages and obstacles occur in our lives, not only in that denial now becomes the episodical difficulty of achieving what we want. And now the third stage is research. When we become aware and we get outside the ego-based emotion of resistance, we now open our mind and we do research. This is when we need to be more interested than interesting. And then finally, we need to make a commitment to the transition. And that's where we enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of our potential. Now, what happens is through these four stages of awareness, resistance, research, and commitment is that change, unlike transition, change can happen fast and it can happen big, just like it did in March. Change happened fast and it happened big, but transition seems always to be slow, slower than we would want. And so timing is extremely important in your transition. Understanding, just like an investment, risk tolerance and timing are important. In transition, timing is very important. Now, there's two types of change that cause transition. One is expected change, and the other is unexpected change. Now, I come from a school of believing that every change is unexpected. We can try to make an educated guess, try to think as if things are going to be expected. But take, for example, in real estate or any transaction, a buy-sell transaction, how many times do things happen exactly as we expect? How many times is the amount change, the time change, the closing change, the deal change? All of those things are unexpected. And when they're unexpected, we need to transition. We need to be aware of it. We need to avoid denial and resistance. We need to do our research by being more interested than interesting. And we have to make a commitment to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. And to make that commitment, we need to know our values. We need to know what exactly day by day we value, external or separate from the circumstances that we don't control. Let me give you a couple examples of expected and unexpected. 2008, the housing market, it was expected to go down, right? Everybody knew subprime lending and the situation that was going on. It was expected that the housing market was going down. But yet, and I expected it, but yet the unexpected occurred during that time, which caused me, for example, and many, many other people to lose everything. And so what we need to know is that timing can occur and changes can occur, which creates unexpected circumstances, unexpected transition within an expected change. Another example, now that I've matured over the 15 years and here we are now in 2020, this was an unexpected change, the pandemic, but expected, I expected the economy to go down. And meanwhile, when the pandemic hit, I also expected it to go down further. And yet timing, in my opinion, is the only thing that holds the expected from the unexpected. Sooner or later, I believe that certain things will go down and aligning with that. So how do we determine the transition? The triple A strategy, which is in Connected to Goodness. And if anybody wants that book for free, just email me, david@emeltzer.com. Be happy to give it to you. The AAA strategy talks about internal and external change and transition, talks about the aggregate effect and compound interest. So there's two types of transitions always going on, right? There's the external one of things that we can't control and an internal transition that has to occur. And what is the aggregate effect of the consistency of those different changes and different transitions to create the compound interest of our life, right? We are the aggregate of what we do, say, think, and believe, and the potentials created by the unconscious competency that we have, the DNA, that quantum memory that we have. And accordingly, the number one thing that we have to do then is get alignment. So the first A of the AAA strategy is alignment. So in order to get alignment, we need to, one, know our values and be as interested as we can to find out how do we align with internal beliefs of ours with the external circumstances and transition that. And as we get alignment, we have to take a perspective of this. I am where I want to be at all times, regardless of the external change or the transition that I want to occur. And the transition is the second part. So I am where I want to be, but I am angling or adjusting or transitioning to where I want to be. I am where I want to be. I'm happy with where I want to be, but I'm angling, transitioning, moving towards where I want to be. And I have faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better, which is the aggregate effect of exponential growth and acceleration, the aggregate effect of what we're doing, thinking, saying, believing, and understanding our potential, which was created by our quantum memory, our DNA, our own internal actual programming that we were born with and through. And so the number one thing that we want to do is get alignment of our internal selves with the external change or circumstance. The second thing that we want to do is to take action. And how do we take action? One, we take inventory of those internal values. We take inventory of our personal values, of what's important to us, the non-negotiables in our lives. We take inventory of what we want to experience, all considering the research and commitment done on the external change or transition that we want. And we're taking that inventory of our values to see what we want to experience. And then, of course, we take inventory of what we want to give, what value we want to give, what service solution, what we want to give to the situation. And most importantly, as you know, we want to receive. So we need to not only get aligned, but take action according to our values, personal, experiential, giving and receiving values. And that action aligned with the values is through one thing, 5 daily practices. When we talk about these awesome, the 5 daily practices, number one, taking inventory of those values and getting a weighted balance of those values every day, not being afraid of being a hypocrite, that you can change your mind, learn, grow, accelerate, etc. And then two, we need to ask for help. In order to ask for help, not only do we ask for help of what internally is going on with ourselves, whether in denial, resistance, research, or commitment, but also externally, we need to find experts, mentors that sit in the situation that maybe have experienced this type of change, big, small, fast, slow change, to understand and evaluate the action that we're going to take in this transition by utilizing people with 30, 40, 50 years experience in the situation that we want to be in or we're experiencing. And of course, the third daily practice of studying things. Studying things means the mathematical formula of luck, right? We want to pay attention to what's going on internally and externally. We want to give intention according to the internal and external changes and transition, which will create the coincidences that we want in our lives. And especially one of the non-negotiables for me is to study my calendar, to study the activity I get paid for, the activity that I don't have planned, that I get paid for, I don't get paid for, the activity I have planned, the activity I don't have planned, and of course, my sleep. And I want to make sure that I'm doing that with the lens of productivity internally, of how productive I'm going to be, and externally, according to the changes and alignment that I prefaced before, and as well as accessibility, how accessible am I to what I want and to others? And finally, most importantly, during transition, especially during external change, accelerated change, we need to maintain the lens of gratitude, right? That lens that shows you the light, the love, and the lessons that you're learning according to the angling that's going on, the adjustment period, which is going to take place. So we have alignment, action, and then finally adjustment. We talked about I am where I want to be. I'm happy where I want to be. I'm angling towards, right? Not directly towards. I'm angling towards what I think I want. So I need to know how to adjust. Now, that adjusting people will call pivoting. I don't really think you pivot. I think you lean in or towards the betterment of where you're going, right? Pain is the adjustment marker. So what happens is we move towards what we want, we experience pain. Now, the majority of people, 99% of the people, stop before they get to 25% of the way to where they want to go because they don't understand incremental growth or acceleration or exponential change. So if you can use pain as an indicator to adjust, pain as an indicator to angle, right? It's an indicator like a turn signal says, hey, you know, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial pain, I got a better direction for you to go into. I have a better direction for you to adjust with. And the key to making the adjustments is, one, we're not really pivoting, are we? We're just moving in a better place, a better direction to make our situation better. Utilizing pain as the indicator, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial pain as an indicator to adjust, and then our values and the 5 daily practices of where to adjust. Accordingly, utilizing the do it now philosophy that when things occur, pain occurs, we ask ourselves, okay, we're gonna make this adjustment. Can I do it now? If I can do it now, I do it because 100% of the people and things that you do now get done. And the difference between successful people and those that aren't successful is successful people get things done. You need to be successful in making those adjustments using pain as an indicator in order to effectuate a greater good or a greater purpose, passion, or profit for yourself. And with that in mind, by utilizing this, the fifth practice of ending fear, of understanding resistance, will only create a detriment, be part of the 99% that quit when they're only 25% of the way there, or worse, even the 99% of the 1% that quit before they're 50% of the way there. You now will use the AAA strategy to get that alignment, take the appropriate action, angle towards what you want, and most importantly, have the faith to know that not only are you where you're at today, where you're supposed to be at the right way at the perfect time and happy with where you're at, but angling towards something better, but even having the faith that you'll end up somewhere better than that. using pain or ego as an indicator that you have something to learn to move in a better direction to make your situation better. Now, in order to do that, you need to let go, right? When we let go, we decrease the interference and corrosion between you and the great source of everything. It allows you to live just for an instant in between limitlessness and infinity. It allows you to feel the source, the power, the energy, the light, the love, and the lessons, which you're always connected to. But in order to do that, you have to blend this fierce and ferocious Buddha. You need to blend the law of Goya, of getting off your ass and being consistent and persistent and pursuing your potential while you're allowing the outcome to happen. You're allowing this process of AAA strategy to angle to what you want, to trust and have faith that you're going to end up somewhere better. And the idea of this is, number one, you need to trust the universe, but you also live in this pragmatic realm where you need to vet. You know, I've transitioned and coached and consulted millionaires, billionaires, athletes, entrepreneurs, and all of them feel that they've been taken advantage of. They lied to, oversold, manipulated, cheated. And I told them, just trust and vet. You got to trust the person that you're with, but vet them. Vet them. Let them know, I'm going to vet this. I am going to be more interested than interesting. I will trust you, but I'm going to vet you, because I not only trust what surrounds me, but if I believe I'm angling towards what I want, but I'm going to end up somewhere better, I need to trust what surrounds me. I need to trust that great source of light, love, and lessons and power that I'm always connected to, and allow it, after I utilize the law of Goya, after I utilize consistency, persistency, and pursuit, after I utilize all that, I have to allow it to come through me with appreciation, gratitude, adding, you know, the light, the love, and the lessons to it, and my values, personal experiential giving and receiving values, to give it away, to allow it to come through me to create that value. And this is the ultimate transition. The ultimate transition is taking the lesson, the love, and the light, allowing it to come through us for others. We are constantly transitioning from the unexpected. And utilizing the AAA strategy of alignment, action, and adjustment allows us to end up somewhere better, in a place and a belief of abundance. Not in a world of not enough, where things happen to you as a victim, right? A third of the people today, the pandemic is victimizing them. Why me? Why me? Especially my teenagers. Why me? I can't go to hang out at the bars, right? Why me? No, try me. Try me at least into the world of just enough for me, where things are happening for you. But when they only happen for you, then you're in a world still of not enough. But in this triple A strategy, within this world of transition in the unexpected, the compressed uncertainty that always exists, you can live in the try me world of abundance, enough of everything for everyone, and experience the ultimate transition, which is transitioning the lessons through you for others, planting seeds under trees that you may never sit under. Thank you, Dennis Waitley. But growing yourself and accelerating and learning and loving and sharing your light to liberate others, to share their light, and most importantly, be happy during these types of times where there's unexpected change and you need to transition. If you are growing, you are transitioning personally and professionally. Now, let's bring this down to a more pragmatic level from the theoretical. I'll give you a quick example of someone that understands how this works. So there was an older mentor of mine, and he owned a pasta sauce company. And he had promised his father, when he came over from Italy, that he would never sell the pasta sauce company. The one promise on his deathbed to his father was, I promise you, I will never sell the pasta sauce company. And he had three kids, two boys and a girl. They all worked, and he put them through college and graduate school with the pasta sauce company. Never extraordinarily rich, but successful. House and the cars and the college and the graduate schools and the weddings and the parties and a really nice life. And the kids, the business, right, online started coming, and they started losing business. And someone came by and offered them $100 million for the pasta sauce company. And the dad refused to sell. Now, in the pragmatic of what surrounds him, he had one grandchild, by the way, the grandpa. They had lost the grandma. The grandpa had one grandson, and he kept saying, I'm doing it for him. And the kids, the parent of the son as well, right, he kept saying, if you're doing it for him, then sell. We'll create a legacy. He'll have everything that he ever needs. $100 million, Dad. We'll sell the pasta company. Come on. We can do this. And the dad refused. And there was great strife and turmoil. But through all of them working together and sharing dinners and strife and struggles and pursuit and change and transition, all the things that occur through life, as the father got older and the grandson got older, he turned down the offer for $100 million. And then came the pandemic, which forced the grandfather to move in a different direction. There was too much pain for a pasta sauce company, too much pain not to sell online. And the kids encouraged him not to sell the business, but to move in a different direction. He had trusted what surrounded him, but more importantly, through the process, he trusted what surrounded him. He had lived up to his word to his father that he would never sell that business. Now, ironically, the business has shifted to such a point that it's one of the, if not the top selling pasta sauce online, and the grocery store sales went even farther up, and they needed a bigger facility, and the facilities that were available don't have to be in the city where it was. And lo and behold, when they went to sell the property for the pasta sauce company, they ended up making what? Of course, $100 million. And then they now lease a facility. They make 3 to 4 times as much money in the business. And the grandson and the children and the grandfather all work together in an enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential. There was so much strife and stress and resistance in the transition when the father refused to sell the pasta company. And now, not only do the kids, but the grandkids all praise their grandfather for trusting not only what surrounded him, but more importantly, what he surrounded, utilizing the AAA strategy. Now, one of the other mechanisms pragmatically that we have to use in transition and change is a capabilities analysis. And I have a very pragmatic way for people to transition using a capability analysis. Now, what are your capabilities? Your capabilities are, number one, your skills. We had talked earlier today on office hours about people saying, I want to get a job in sports. And I said, that's not a job. What do you do? What is your skill? I'm a teacher. I can apply that to sports. I'm a marketer. I can apply that to sports. I'm a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant. I'm a public facility manager. I am a strategist. All of those things apply to sports. But sports is not a job. So when we look at transition, we need to take a capabilities analysis of, number one, what skills do you have? What skills do you want? And what skills do you need? The second thing that you want to take inventory of in a capabilities analysis is your knowledge. Now, when I talk about knowledge, most people talk about some sort of training or books or podcasts or movies or TV or videos that they have watched and learned from. But more important than even what you know is who you know. Not just for networking and for your black book or leverage of, you know, getting in places, but more importantly, who you know that will mentor you to give you the greatest acceleration and growth, to pay your dummy tax for you. So when you're doing a capabilities analysis, we're looking at the skills that you have, what you need, but we're also looking at the what and who you know and who you need to know. And then finally, the last capability that often goes ignored is your adaptability intellect. Your adaptability intellect is driven by one source of fuel, and that source of fuel is simply your desire to must be what you can be, your desire to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, like my friend, the pasta sauce owner company, right? You need to love what you do and learn to love the rest, because there's the same percentage of your life that sucks than anyone else's. And the difference is the people that have the desire to must be what they can be, they find the light, the love, and the lessons in that percentage of suck. And you can do the same thing, the same exact thing. You can do the same thing yourself. Just do a capabilities analysis. Now, how does that help you today? Because if we know our capabilities and we can align them using the AAA strategy with what's synergistic and supplementary to what's doing well right now, we can find opportunities, because with great change comes great opportunities. And if we can find those opportunities and how our skills, knowledge, and desire are aligned or synergistic or supplementary to those, huge opportunities exist. And so many people have been able to adapt and transition into huge opportunities. And if you don't know where those exist, just go to the stock market. Look at the stock market and look at the top 50 companies that are doing well. The top 50 companies that are growing faster than others will show you where your skills, knowledge, and desire can be synergistic, supplementary, or aligned with what's doing well right now. Industry, career, actual businesses are all indicative of what's doing well in the stock market. Two, what's stable? If you can find where your capabilities, skills, knowledge, desire are aligned, synergistic, and supplementary to what's stable right now, huge opportunities exist, not only for now, but for later. And you can utilize those. And once again, the stock market will show you. Go look what stocks have not moved for the last 6 months. Go look and see where these external changes, these external transitions have not affected the internal nature of the business, and find where those capabilities, skills, knowledge, desire are all aligned with, supplementary to, or synergistic to what's stable. And then finally, do a capabilities analysis and find what's synergistic, supplementary, your skills, knowledge, and desire to what you think, or through mentorship or some sort of studying, attention and intention that you've given it to, will create coincidences of things that are going to do very well in the future that you want to invest in yourself and align yourself with those skills, knowledge, and desire to something that you'd want to do in the future. For example, for me, I looked at sports gambling, right? I knew and did research and saw that certain gambling sites, companies, certain sectors of the industry were getting crushed in the stock market. I also knew human nature never changes and gambling's always been a successful business and it would just be a matter of time before a rebound. I also knew that 22 states in 18 months had approved sports betting. I also knew the accelerated rate of fantasy and other types of polling and lottery. I also knew the technology that was around it. And I aligned all of those things that were synergistic, supplementary to my skills, knowledge, and desire, creating investments in esports and other things that I think will do extremely well in the future. Those are the margins of millionaires. That's how we can smile through the struggle. That's how you find great opportunity and great change, by understanding what your capabilities are, finding how with the AAA strategy to see if they're synergistic, supplementary, and aligned with what is doing well today, what's stable today, and what will do well in the future. If you understand the four stages of transition and you raise your awareness, you avoid the ego-based consciousness of denial and resistance, avoid shortages, obstacles, corrosion between you and the all-knowing, the infinity, the limitlessness that you're always connected to, the light, the love, and the lessons. And you do your research, not only with the law of attraction, but with the law of Goya, and get off your ass and actually do something and make the commitment to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your potential. Getting alignment, action, adjustment, loving where you're at today, angling towards where you want to be tomorrow, and having faith that you're going to end up somewhere even better than that. Not only trusting what surrounds you, but like the pasta sauce owner company, the company owner, trust what surrounds you. Do that capabilities analysis, and you will be aligned with and synergistic to and supplementary to a tremendous transition to expand, accelerate, and grow. And most importantly, be happy. I appreciate everyone. Now, if you want exercises and guides to the transition training, just go ahead and email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want Connected to Goodness, my book that has the AAA strategy and many other things in it, I will send it to you for free, david@dmeltzer.com. If you don't use email, then text me and join my text community, 949-298-2905. We will share the replay as well. If you want the replay featured on Spotify, the playlist I've created on Spotify of all the trainings to get the guides, exercises, and free books as well. Now let's take some questions and get to the fun part. How can you tell whether career advice you get is good or not? Well, let's just take it out of the realm of career advice. How do you know if advice is good or not? I treat all advice like a handful of sand. Number one, I'm very grateful that I have a whole handful of something. So if anyone gives me advice, my first perspective is to be grateful. To be grateful enough that someone cares enough to tell me or cares enough to allow their share to make my life better. I then try to understand the advice and see how it's aligned with what? My personal values, my experiential values, my giving values, and my receiving values. And what I do then is I treat it like a handful of sand, knowing that just because the person who gave me the advice may love me more than anything, I allow the advice to fall through my hands if it's not aligned with my values for that day. And every once in a while, I get a big kernel, you know, like be more interested than interesting, be kind to your future self. All the great little kernels, plant seeds under trees you may never, you know, sit under, whatever they are, you know, trust and vet. You know, those are nuggets I hold on to and take that advice, whether it's career advice, life advice, parenting advice, food, restaurant advice, handful of sand, but I'm always grateful, never resentful or resistant to people's advice. How could I be when they're trying to make my life better? Even if their intentions aren't aligned with mine or their values aren't aligned with mine, they would not waste their time unless they are trying to make my life better or maybe to make themselves feel better, more important, more valuable. Either way, gratitude to be gracious to that advice and treat it like a handful of sand is the best thing. Now, if you want to put your Q&A in here, we're growing real quick. Put your questions in here. I'll answer them. Did I hear you tell a story about a dancing traffic cop? Yeah. So learning to love what you do. You know, everybody, no matter what your career is, you can find the light, the love, and the lesson. And I can't think for my values a more difficult job than being a traffic cop. Standing out all day, whistling, blowing, New York City. And I remember seeing a story about the dancing traffic cop who put light, love, and lessons, that found the light, love, and lessons into the percentage of suck in his job. And he actually became famous, built a huge brand. People would come to see him, and his days went quickly and enjoyable, and he was passionate, purposeful, and profitable with one of the most normal jobs in the world. He wasn't making movies. He wasn't running sports agencies. He wasn't doing podcasts and TV shows. He wasn't running for touchdowns. He simply was a traffic cop who put all his energy and was the best traffic cop he could by finding the light, the love, and the lessons, blowing and whistling and dancing. Go ahead and Google the guy. It's incredible. You can be the dancing traffic cop in your life. Take the percentage of suck and dance your way through it. Raise and elevate your vibration and frequency. Find and love and enjoy what you're doing consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the pursuit of your potential to be the best traffic cop you can be. Yes, you've heard me tell that story years ago, by the way. What's the best career advice you've ever gotten? Best career advice that I ever gotten was to move up, no matter where it was. Let me explain this to you. I was told, take every promotion that you can get. And this is how I ended up being the CEO of the most notable sports agency in the world. Is when I started with West Publishing, I was put into the Southeast, and then they had campaigns. And you know, everybody wanted to be in Manhattan. Well, I took a promotion to be a manager slash salesperson to train people in the road. And I went to Indiana for a campaign. And I would take the promotions. And my younger brother, who extraordinary academic, an extraordinary businessman, he raised and elevate himself into an incredible place because, you know, what happens is, I'll give you an example. I'm from San Diego. Within the context of my business, the guy who was in San Diego as a manager, he was waiting to be a director. And the director in San Diego, none of them wanted to move. Well, meanwhile, I took a manager job in Indiana. I took a director job in Minnesota. I kept laterally moving, taking promotions. And then when the San Diego job came open, I just moved laterally at the highest level, and those guys are still there working for me. Take and elevate yourself. Don't worry about according to your values. So the best piece of career advice was advance no matter where it was, and then you can move laterally over. So when I became a young millionaire, a young executive, I was moving over into different jobs as an executive because the first thing people look at when they're getting jobs is experience. I'd done it, right? I'd run a sales force of 7,000 people. I'd done all these different things. Even though I was young, nobody cared because I had the situational knowledge and experience, and I had paid the dummy tax, even though it was in places I didn't want to be. The nice thing is with travel, with remote freelancing, you can be anywhere. So take those promotions. Best piece of advice for me. How to get less anxious about change? Well, first of all, know that change will always happen. So that should make you less anxious by itself. It's a standard. It is a constant. The world is expanding and growing and accelerating. It is changing. So instead of making change unexpected, expect change and expect and tool yourself and empower yourself with the tools utilizing what we talked about, the stages of transition, AAA strategy, angling towards you want, trusting what surrounds you, but even trusting more and having faith what surrounds us. All of these different things by utilizing the 5 daily practices of taking inventory of your values, asking and attracting, student of your calendar, do it now, and practicing ending fear. All of those things will help you become less anxious about change. You will be able to be a ferocious Buddha, identify when and have the awareness of that transition, and then stop, drop, and roll. Be a ferocious Buddha. Stop when you're in the ego-based emotion of anxiety. Breathe through your nose, pass your eyes out through the end of the universe, and then roll in the right trajectory. Don't allow change to create interferences, boys. Allow it to propel you in the best direction. Remember, that change, that pain is just an indicator. It's not a stop sign. Don't be part of the 99%. Be part of the 1% of the 1% that does enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, that doesn't need the awareness of incremental growth, exponential change, and acceleration, that allows compound interest in the aggregate to work in their favor, not against them. What does make yourself equal than make yourself different mean? So a lot of times comparison and competitiveness can steal your joy. It's a soul sucker. And so the best thing that we can do is make ourselves equal to one another and then find the light, the love, and the lessons and the differences, right? Every strength moved to somewhere can be a weakness. Every weakness can become a strength. But what we need to start doing here is to start looking for the similarities and the sameness, the equality between us, the connection of us, and then rejoice in the differences. And when we do that, whether it's in a business setting or a personal setting, we strengthen our bond. We strengthen our ability to be in the flow, to allow things to come through us in the great transition from everything in abundance in and through us with gratitude and appreciation to others. So making yourself equal, then making yourself different and appreciating those differences by finding the light, the love, and the lessons in the differences, to me, is how we're going to save the world. Let's not try to find the differences. There's no competition. No tree has branches that would go to war against each other. Let's find what's the same and let's appreciate the differences and see how they mold and meld together and to effectuate an incredible oneness or unification for the greater good, a more productive, accessible, and gracious place to live. How do you ensure that during a career transition, you aren't spinning your wheels? Well, the way that you ensure that is to take inventory of your values every day, because if you're making decisions in your career aligned with your values, you're not spinning your wheels. If you're finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything you do, like the traffic cop, then you're expanding and growing and accelerating, regardless of what the career is or the duties that you have. I've transformed taking out the trash into a situation of light, love, and lessons where I use taking out the trash, which I hated to do, considered it a curse, considered it bad karma, always had difficulty, always felt bad, resistance, void, shortages, taking out the trash. I transitioned that into one of the greatest things that I do. because I utilize it for time to meditate, to think about what I want, to be happy. I go to a friend's house and I offer to take out the trash. I pick up trash when I walk. It's not only something that allows me to think about what I want to do and be happy, but it's a good deed. I'm making things more orderly, more clean, more effective, efficient, and successful by putting away the trash. You can find a light, love, and lesson in anything. Remember, there's a percentage of suck in everything. The key to life is to consistently, persistently enjoy finding the pursuit of that potential, whatever it may be, however mundane it may seem to others, however conditions and judgments that other people put upon it. You can raise and elevate the awareness with no resistance and allow yourself to be more interested and interesting by finding the light, the love, and the lessons in order to make the commitment to be happy. You can do that, I promise you, in any type of career. What's the most impressive career transition you've seen or been a part of? Well, you know, there's so many. Just so many. I mean, going from reality show host to president is a pretty impressive career transition. I'm not getting political. Please don't put any judgments or conditions, but you got to admit, that's a pretty impressive career transition from reality show host to president of the United States, the most powerful position, executive position in the world. Pretty impressive. As far as what I've been a part of, I think transitioning from bankruptcy into, you know, impacting over a billion people to be happy, that's a pretty good career transition for me as well. How can you figure out another industry that fits your skills? I use the stock market. I use business trades and research of what companies are doing well, what are stable, and which ones I think will do well. Looking at it as an industry and career basis, like sports as an industry, probably too broad. Sports gambling, great indicator on a career or an industry that you could look at and see how your skills, knowledge, and desires are aligned with, supplementary to, or synergistic with what's doing and what's going on there. What are some skills you think today's employers value most? Well, I think employers most value skills that they can't teach. And those are, to me, value-based skills. So for me, I value gratitude, right? I cannot tell you how valuable it is to find someone that can find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. I value forgiveness because someone that's forgiving is not only someone that will make a ton of mistakes themselves and learn from it, but also encourage others to do, expand, and live in the learning zone as well, but not create resistance, voids, shortages, comparisons when they make those mistakes. The third one is accountability. The skill of accountability to me is a value of knowing two things. Number one, what did I do to attract this to my life? And two, what am I supposed to learn from it? So not only does it give the employees empowerment and control in the positions of the daily activities that I give them, but it also empowers them to not allow the resistance, void, shortages, and obstacles of external forces to make them feel anxious, to slow them down, to push them back into an anxiety zone or a comfort zone of do-nothingness. And then finally, the skill of inspiration. Knowing how to convert motivation to get up, get back up, get started, get restarted, and know how to transition that into inspiration. Remember, inspiration is in spirit. So it's not just the ability to connect to what makes them feel good, to allow them to be more productive, accessible, and gracious, but allow them, inspiration is in spirit with everything else, to understand that they're just a blip in between infinity and limitlessness, and their light can liberate other people's lights as well by allowing with appreciation, adding their value, their light, love, and lessons through them to the other employees, associates, clients, and other partners that we may have. Those four things are the skills that I think employers should and do actually, whether it's subconsciously or unconsciously, look at. I do not care about skills that I can teach. I do not care about skills that you can get with a library card or a YouTube video. I care about four things that will empower you to empower others, to empower others. I want people that sell through themselves to others and sell through them to other people as well. That's how you thrive. That's how business grows. That's how you can efficiently and effectively, with statistical success, grow, scale a profitable, passionate, purposeful business to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Great question here. Thank you for pointing it out. What is stable data? So stable data is really important today. People base decisions off of data, off of information. And if that data is not true, if that data is inaccurate, it sets off bad decision making. And so what we want to do is trust the data, but vet it, right? Just like we trust people, we trust the circumstances around us, but vet it, which allows us to trust or put faith in what surrounds us. So stable data is being more interested than interesting to vet the information that we have to make sure that it's stable and good so that we're making stable and good decisions. If we make decisions off of information that's not stable and good, it's like building a business on straw. All it takes is a little wind to blow it over. What was the hardest transition you had to make and why? The most difficult, right? Hard is the surface. The most challenging transition I had to make was one from the world of just enough to abundance. I was in a world where I was buying things I didn't need, more things I didn't need, different things I didn't need to be happy. I was attaching my emotions to an outcome. Everything was for me. I was living in a world of just enough for me. I was buying things just to impress people I didn't even like. And to make the transition from living my life to be loved by everybody, living my life to get the approval of everyone else, living my life to vote for what other people wanted for me, or even worse, what I didn't want for myself, making the transition into abundance, into having faith in what surrounds me, into having faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone, to understand time and risk tolerance, and understand the transition and external and internal transitions that are necessary, to live with gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication in the enjoyment of the consistent, everyday, persistent pursuit of my potential, to transition from the world of just enough to the world of more than enough. I'm still transitioning, but that to me is the most challenging of all worlds, because you have to blend all of the ego-based consciousness that exists in the pragmatic world of mortgages and employees and overhead and insecurities and guilt and resentment and offense and anger and frustration into a world of more than enough, a truth consciousness of being gracious, accountable, forgiving, and inspiring. What do I do if someone I care about carries a lot of negative energy? Now remember, you cannot change a closed mind. So, you know, you can only act with positive energy yourself. And if someone that has negative energy has an open mind, you know, it takes as much energy to change a closed mind as it does 1,000 open ones, then we're able to provide understanding, pray for their happiness, and create change. If we go to a closed mind of negativity, we can provide understanding and pray for their happiness and allow them to fall away. There is a feeding chain that I like to talk about with negativity. And the feeding chain goes like this. If somebody feeds you, you should be feeding them. Make the investment in them. If they're feeding you, if they make you feel good, if they give you things, if they do things for you, you should be feeding them. If somebody doesn't feed you, you should let them fall away. There's too many people out there that will feed you and you can feed to waste your time, resources, and money on someone that's not feeding you. Allow them to fall away. I'm not saying don't give money to charity and help people. I'm talking about in the intimate relationship, the close circles of our personal and professional lives. If people are not feeding you, right, let them fall away. And more importantly, if they bleed you, fire them. Get away from the best. Now, understand all of them, pray for all of their happiness, the people that feed you, the people that don't, and the people that bleed you. Pray for their happiness and understanding, but fire the ones that bleed you. Do not waste your time, emotion, and energy. They will soul suck you. They will bring you down to a level of frequency and a vibration you don't want to be at. You will become the aggregate of that energy and frequency that you surround yourself with. So feed those that feed you, fall away those that don't, and fire those that bleed you. Aside from social, where do you recommend networking? Four places that we network. And the way that we network is to ask and attract. You need to learn a series of questions to ask people of how you can provide value or service. Usually I ask people what they're doing today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, see how it aligns with my capabilities, my skill, my knowledge, and my desire. And I ask them, would it help you if I did this? Would it help you if I did this? Would it help you if I introduced you to this? That's the first part of networking. The second part is to ask if they know anyone that can help you. Ask them, because on average, most people know about 1,000 people, which has expanded out about 250 times from when I was a kid, where most people knew about four people, which was their foursome at golf or their card game or some other men's or women's group. But nowadays, everyone knows about 1,000 people. So ask, do you know anybody that can help me with what? You got to know what is, got to take inventory of values, personal experience of giving and receiving to know what you want. The why will come behind it, but you got to ask. Now, how do you network once you know those two series of questions that you need to ask? Number one, in person. Number two, on the phone. Number three, social media. And four, email. I still look at my sent box every single day to see how many asks I have in there, either of how I can be of service or value, or do you know anyone that could help me? For example, coming to these trainings, I am asking all of you, do you know anyone that can help me bring more people to the live trainings? Of course, the replays as well on Spotify and all the exercises and guides. Just email me. Do you know anyone that needs help? Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. It's free. The exercises, the guides, and my books, free. Training course, free. Go ahead, david@dmeltzer.com, or just join our community on the text, 949-298-2905. What are your favorite books? Sorry. What are your favorite books? My favorite books, number one, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Two, The Power of Intention, Dr. Wayne Dyer. Three, A Course in Miracles. Other favorite books that are more recent, Atomic Habits, a great book as well, Surrender Experiment. There's so many, Game Changers, Rob Angel, Peace. All types of gratitude books. Anyway, I can send you a list. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. But my favorite three that I read every day, Think and Grow Rich, read it every day. A Course in Miracles, read it every day. Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer, read it every single day. And so those are my favorites. And of course, my book, which is free for you, should be your favorite book, Connected to Goodness. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. All right, what were the four principles? Four principles, the four values? Four values are gratitude, empathy, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration or effective communication. Of communicating with what we're connected to through us to give to other people. I do not give to receive. It's not a trade in negotiation. I receive so I can give. And that allows me to give what I receive. You can't give what you don't have. And that's with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability as well. What is the most important lesson you've learned this week? I always like that question. Most important question, lesson I've learned this week is the feeding chain. Oh, no, sorry. Most important lesson I've learned this week, I forgot. You're going to learn lessons. You're going to forget every single one of them, but you have the power to access them. The lesson that I learned this week, and get your pens because this is awesome. When you are trying to stimulate interest, when you are selling, when you are pitching, when you are trying to share a vision and stimulate interest, you do not have to get specific at all. Your only objective is to find someone with an open mind and transition them to talk to you. Because of that fact that it takes as much energy to convince someone with a closed mind as it does 1,000 people with an open mind, why are you trying to re-engineer and engineer a vision by a specific spectrum of people by putting out there that, hey, you know, I do executive coaching, I'm looking for entrepreneurs or CEOs, specifically, right? When all you really want to ask is how you could be of service or value, and do they know anyone that could help you? So what you're truly trying to aggregate is an audience or community of open-minded people. That's the only people that I try to address. I just want people with open minds to see how I could be of service or of value, to empower them, to empower others, to be happy, and to see who they know that may be able to help me. It's that simple. So the biggest lesson of the week is I have been blowing it for years and years and years trying to find a specific spectrum of people to stimulate interest from when I should have just had one criteria, open-mindedness. giving me efficiency is effectiveness and statistical success, and sharing the vision that I have to empower others to be happy, to change the world with the collective consciousness of happiness. Happiness being the greatest disease of all time, shared simply by witnessing it, strengthens you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. It'll even strengthen your immune system and protect you against all other viruses. Woo! I'm checking it out. Open-mindedness. That's it. Search and seek people that have open minds in order to transition interest to share your vision, either of how you can provide service or value, or more importantly, how they can help you so you can go and allow it to come through you for others to empower others as well. How do you overcome thoughts that are haunting, and how do you find strength from within you? Haunting thoughts are quantum. And so they go beyond just canceling negative thoughts, words, emotions, what you think, say, do. It goes past clearing your mind as a ferocious Buddha, stopping, dropping, and rolling. It actually is shifting your energy. And I have a great thing in my book called Connect, where you envision every day what is worrying you and haunting you, what you love the most, sharing that energy, putting it over you, and actually physically feeling as if you shifted your energy. So go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Get my book, Cancel, Clear, Connect is in my book. It will walk you through procedurally. I want to get to another question, but that's how we overcome what haunts us. Number one, identify the difference between conscious, subconscious, and unconscious hauntings. Clear, cancel, clear, and connect. You can do it. Thank you, Donna. What skills would I require to create multiple sources of income? Could be one skill, could be multiple skills. The first skill that you should require is to find how your capabilities are aligned with one source of income and see how that's supplementary or synergistic to other sources of income. I'm constantly trying to evaluate a spine approach where I have my core source of income that leads to other income that utilizes the exact same capability, skills, knowledge, and desire. And then anything that falls outside of that is a vertebrae of the spine in which I create an overlap agreement, a compensation plan for referring business or being a procuring cause of business where I'll get 10% of the business as it overlaps my daily business, not concentrating what I'm doing and my skills, knowledge, and desires on those vertebrae, only on the spine, where I have multiple different spinal locations in which I have sources of income that lead to other vertebrae, which I have supplementary and synergistic income by referrals and procuring cause opportunities that allow me to make multiple sources of income to aggregate itself into compound interest, which helps me be more happy by making more money, helping more people, and having more fun. Thanks for doing what you do, David. Question, how do you make sure you leave your old self behind each day to be ready for the new self today? How to actually do it? I believe that my tomorrow starts today. And I don't really leave myself behind, right? Because history is really important. It really is a way to study human nature. And I want to remember what I've done and learn from it the best that I can and access that remembrance or recollect what I've done, recollect, remember, come together with it. So I don't want to necessarily, you know, new self, but I do want to start my tomorrow today by having an unwinding routine. So that I wake up at the same time for tomorrow at my highest frequency. So I'm not living the myth of Sisyphus where I push a boulder up to the top of the hill and allow it to roll back down. So please, you know, use that unwind routine. Start your tomorrow today by unwinding at night. It's as important as warming up. Unwind so that you can start your tomorrow at the highest frequency. You only get one action in a day. Everything else is a reaction. So make that action, that first action of the day, the highest frequency by utilizing an unwind routine so that you have no external negativity, caffeine, alcohol, stress, anxiety, all the ego-based emotions. You want to make sure that you are well practiced and rehearsed and routined in that. All right, last question. Remember, if you want the guides, the exercises, or book, so just email me for this training or all the other ones, the pitch competitions, the ultimate ego, the five to thrive sales, all the different trainings that buy low, sell high. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, or join my text community, 949-298-2905. Last question, what is the best way to pay for college as an older student? The both philosophy. Number one, the best way to pay for college is to find a college that costs the least, that it meets your objective, and two, make the money, right? Make the money, go ahead, focus, do both, find out how you can make the most money you can. Online college is absolutely a great way to do it today. You're not getting any difference from any other school. Find the best name according to what you want to do. If it's in sports management, if it's networking, if it's real estate, go find the best program, just like a mentor. Find the school that puts you in the best situation with the skills, the knowledge, and desire that they have. Spend the least that you can in order to get it, and go ahead and make the most money that you can. You can email me. I got some more advice on that. We're going over time now. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate you. Remember, david@dmeltzer.com. Get the exercises, guides, and books. You can watch the replays on Spotify. Look at the playlist that has all of the different trainings on there on Spotify, all platforms featured on Entrepreneur the Playbook. Go ahead. Please join me every Friday next week. Pitch competition, how to do the perfect pitch. Come join me. It's going to be a TV show on Bloomberg. We're going to be practicing and utilizing the training for the pitch competition. If you haven't applied to join, please apply. David@dmeltzer.com. You can join the pitch competition. It'll be on Bloomberg TV, at all the airports, hotel rooms, and of course, all the platforms that I'm on, including Spotify. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Let's have a wonderful week. And most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Have a great week.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.